You know, when you go into a restaurant, basically you see the room in which you sit. You see the waiter or the waitress and the menu. What you don't see are all the behind-the-scenes details. What's happening in the kitchen? How the staff is interacting with one another. Whether things are going well, it's a good day or not. All you know is the food that is placed in front of you. Now imagine on that day long ago in this story that is told by all four of the gospel evangelists. I'm sure that the crowds who gathered beside the sea there had little knowledge of what was going on behind the scenes. They just knew that they came to Jesus and he had compassion for them. He healed the sick, and I'm sure, even though it doesn't say it here, that he had a bunch of things to say because he was known as a good speaker and a good storyteller. And they were drawn to him. For food, yes, the food of good words, the food of healing, but also, as in the story, the food of bread and fish. Some of the behind-the-scenes things they did not know. Now, this particular story is important in the life of God's people because, as I said, it's shared in all four of the Gospels. It's told a little bit different in each one. I mean, John's Gospel is the one that brings up about a little boy having the loaves and the fishes. And many sermons have been preached over the years about that boy and what he had to share. Probably much more said than the Gospel actually says. Matthew's particular take begins with that, as I read, "Now when Jesus heard this." What was this? What did Jesus hear? Well, if you turn to the first part of that chapter, you find the disturbing story of a different kind of meal. That's for sure. It's the account that Matthew tells of what happened to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, if you might remember, was the forerunner, the foreteller, the one who came to prepare the way for the Lord. And he was not necessarily very popular with the religious and political establishment of his day. He was calling for change. He was calling for turning, for repentance. And he had some rather strong things to say, especially about the king and his marriage to the wife of his brother. Now, you don't need to know all the details. In fact, we really don't know all the details of what happened. It could be that Matthew was embellishing here a little bit. What we do know of the Herods is that their family life was very complicated, to say the least. As was their political power. They had it, yes, but at the pleasure of the bigger power of the day, which was Rome. But irregardless of all that, John the Baptist was a thorn in the side of the king. So the king had him arrested. But even arresting him, he couldn't silence this prophet who continued to speak even in prison. According to Matthew, the one who minded it the most was Herodias, Herod's wife. And perhaps you know the little story of what happened on Herod's birthday when Herodias' daughter danced before him in such a way that he was just entranced and offered to give her anything that she desired. prodded by her mother, what do you think she asked for? John's head served on a platter. Which is exactly, according to Matthew, what happened. John was beheaded. And this was given on a meal plate. Can you imagine? It's a different day, I grant you. A different kind of menu, don't you think? This was the news that reached Jesus. And this is what it means when he said, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place." Now you know why he needed to get away. But still, the crowds came, as they always do. Need continues to exist in this world. I mean, we can try to get away from it, but that doesn't mean it stops. We may wish that the world would stop turning just long enough for us to get just a slight bit of peace and rest. But it doesn't. It keeps on turning. Problems just don't automatically go away, do they? They remain. And we step into them. And we are given what we need in order to deal with them. But just the simple point is, if Jesus felt the need for rest, to get away to a deserted place, to kind of stop, to pause, what makes us think that we can do without that? We need our deserted places. We need our quiet spots. We need on a regular basis, even though we know that the world doesn't stop turning, we need to get away. Now, as we will go on next week and read the rest of this chapter, Jesus does get away, finally, from the crowds. But not at this point, for what comes next? The crowds are there, and of course they're oblivious to all of this, I'm sure. Maybe they've heard some of the rumors, but they've got their own thoughts. They've got their own needs. They've got their own pressures that they're coming to Jesus to address. And evening comes. And I love this picture. In fact, as I hear this particular story, I remember that comedy, Mennonite comedy duo, Ted and Lee. Any of you remember them? How they dealt with this practice. They were portraying two of the disciples at this particular event. And they hear Jesus, you know, they tell Jesus that, it's time, we need to send the people away because, you know, they're getting restless and they need to pay attention to their hunger and stuff like this. And, you know, they need to deal with it, Lord. And Jesus turns to them and said, "You feed them." "Lord, there's so many. What do we got?" And as Ted and Lee did this, they went out and would always go out into the crowds and find out, "Well, Jesus says we should feed. Do you got anything?" And they go around to the whole audience and say, what do you got? What would you share?" You know, and somebody would give them a Tic Tac. Somebody else might give them a piece of gum. What were some of those of you who heard Ted and Lee? What one I in particular I remember from a national youth conference was a young fellow who had brought a pillow with him to use to sit on in that big auditorium on the floor, and it was a fish pillow. So Lee came back up front with this big, huge fish pillow. That's what I see in my mind as I'm going through this particular story. Anyways, you know the story. How many loaves were there?
Cinco, five.
See. And how many fish? How many people? Plus. That was just counting the men. They only counted the men back there. What? What about the women and children? No, just the men. 5,000. Jesus looked up to God, prayed, blessed the food. What happened? It was enough. Do you think the crowd saw the miracle? I sort of have my doubts. You know, they just knew they were fed. They saw the, you know, the baskets. I'm sure, you know, 5,000 or plus people there, you know, scattered it. If we had this big a thing, do you think they didn't have microphones back then? They didn't hear Jesus say, well, you feed them. Jesus, we don't got it. You feed them. Okay. They just saw the baskets being passed. And they took what they needed and they ate. Certainly a better menu than what was served up in Herod's palace. Were there leftovers? Yes! How many? 12 baskets. You know this story. It's told several times over. Okay. Now that's the story. Now let's get back down to that better menu. I was trying to think, you know, I've got to leave you with something. What was on the menu? Of course, loaves and fishes. But I think there was more than that. More than that. And this is what I would see on that menu. First of all, on that menu is quiet, stillness, silence, getting away, the importance of that. Now, it's funny that the crowds followed Jesus to that deserted place. Did they receive from that deserted place what they needed? Well, yes. Were they intending to receive that? What they really got? Probably not. But still they did. Just like sometimes wilderness moments, deserted times come to us. Whether we intend it or not. We pray that we might take that menu item and eat it. And be blessed by it. Another thing on the menu I might note was simplicity. This was no fancy menu with items there that you don't even understand what they mean. Have you ever been in a, like one of these restaurants where you're trying to figure out, okay, what is this actually? There's a fancy name to it. I have no idea. They explained it, but I have no idea what it is. I mean, how many times I've eaten in a Thai restaurant, I still, when I go into a Thai restaurant, I still don't always know what it is I'm going to be eating until I actually eat it. Same with a lot of other restaurants. The menu there was just very simple. Bread, fish. How often do we complicate what we need? We focus upon what's most important. Often the simplest is the best, is it not? Come to the waters, water. Come buy wine and milk, simple. Bread without money, without price, free from God. Quiet, simplicity, and that word, enough. We live in a society that never seems to have enough. We supersize our meals. Now the good thing I think the gas crisis has done is that we are downsizing our vehicles. For a while there, we kept making them bigger and bigger. But still, there are parts of our lives we still need to downsize and be quenched, be filled. Can you come to the end of a meal, no matter what that meal is, whether it's at the table or whether it be a conversation or whether it be a day at work, whatever that meal, because I'm talking about menus that don't necessarily involve food as we often think of it. When we come to the end of the meal, can we say, it's enough? Spending time with a friend, I'm filled. Doing work that means something, it's enough. Coming to the end of that day and saying, I've done what I could, it was enough. This is the menu, the better menu, if you will, of the Lord. And God serves it up every day. Please pray with me. Lord God, thank you for blessing us, for multiplying, for simplifying, for providing, for your compassion, for your peace in the wilderness, and for the menu which is your gospel, the good news of your kingdom, that there is always enough with plenty left over. This we pray in the name of the one who prayed and broke the bread and, well, shared it. Amen.